I'll tell you, kind of, there are some things that I already know, but a lot I don't know. And the main thing is, you worked for the railroad for
14 years.
I want you to tell me anything you remember about that. First of all, what do you remember? What year you went to work for the railroad?
Well, I think it was in 1941. Pete, now the best thing, remember, I've got it in there on letters and things that whenever I started my retirement, when I retired from the school, and I'd already torn the depot down, but I didn't even ride for it or anything until I fully retired from everything. And then I get my railroad retirement and my teacher's retirement, and then I get Floyd's Social Security check. And so best I can remember, and I'm pretty sure that that's what I have down. I have a letter here somewhere that Billy and I wrote to the railroad company when I told them that I had reached retirement age plus, you know, told them my age. And then they started sending it to me when I fully retired from everywhere.
Well, now, how old were you when you started working for the railroad?
Well, if it was in 1941, I'm 80 now. Take that from it, and then you'll figure.
Well, you were born in 1908?
I was born in 1908.
So
June the 1st, 1908 is when I was born. And I'm sure that I was a...
Well, we can figure that out. That 1941, was 3.
Uh-huh.
You were...
I was in my 30s, wasn't it?
33?
That's about right. Okay. That's about like a lot.
Now, did you live here all your life?
I was born here.
Where were you born?
I was born right down here, a little ways out of Coppell.
Where was that? On what road?
On Coppell Road. Wait a minute, no. You turn now and go by Ruby Hood's and Wise Run, you know, down in there.
Okay.
That last house along on that...
So that last house is not there anymore, is it?
No, they tore it down.
Yeah,
just as you get to where the stop sign is to turn right.
To turn right.
There was
a
place out here. And we had 15 acres there, and it was a truck farm. We raised all kinds of vegetables, watermelon and everything. But we worked all this land on each side of the railroad track. That's Grandpa Harrison's.
Now, I remember reading what it said about you in the... Carrollton, Peter's Colony, historical, what's that magazine called?
Historical,
the Elm Fork Echoes. You know, they wrote about you in there, and you talked about farming the land and all that stuff.
I didn't know that.
Teresa E.B. Teresa E.B. and all those
things. Oh, yes. Yeah. She just begged me. I told her I wasn't no writer. And I wasn't. Mm-hmm. But she just begged me to. But I wasn't happy with it because I read it, after it came out. And at the time I was feeling very bad, and she wanted in there so bad that was certain things went certain, with certain copies of it, you know. And she wanted that. What I would write.
Well, you then were raised and lived here, and when you were 33, was it your first job?
Oh, it's the first job I ever had in my life. I never made a penny
Well, what was your title? Was it railroad agent?
I was an express agent. But an only time that I took care of the cotton and everything, Mr. Cooper showed me how it was going to be some little time before they moved the cotton, divided it, everything here in the way of freight to Carrollton and Grapevine stations. But he showed me how to let the cotton, they slacked a little bit of being through. Whenever they put me in as the agent, there was 4 or 5 women.
So you're saying that when you went to work for them in 1941,
they had almost
eliminated everything but passenger service, is that right?
No, everything but express. The express came in.
The express is what? You mean...
The express came in. Now, the freight was big, heavy things that came in boxcars, but this was off of passenger trains, and I don't think any freight train stopped at night. They maybe did.
So what you mean is they did have freight here, but it came off of passenger trains. Is that right?
Oh, no, the freight The heavy freight didn't. Mm-hmm. It came off the big heavy Mark cars. Mm-hmm. But when it's shortly after I was put in, and a man that was the nicest fella from Tyler, Texas, came up mm-hmm. and showed me how. And everything. And Mr. Pinkerton told you this, and I'll tell you this. You have plenty of time here for us, me to talk. And so he said, I was just as nervous as I could be, and I was about 33 there. You mm-hmm. know, I know I was in my early 30s, and mm-hmm. Billy was about 8 or 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And he went with me all the time when he wasn't in school, you know. Mm-hmm. I met 2 trains a day.
Mm-hmm. Passenger trains?
Passenger trains. Mm-hmm. I met them and see what they put them off of the passenger trains.
Mm-hmm.
And they'd go to Bloin when they left Grapevine.
Mm-hmm.
And they brought the baby chickens in the spring off of that.
Uh-huh.
And unlocked the depot
mm-hmm.
and was putting them out when I'd get there. I'd just go to see if there's anything
mm-hmm.
perishable.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have to stay up there.
Oh, you didn't have to stay there?
I didn't stay all day, no. Mm-hmm. I went to work over school. And I'd mm-hmm. stop as I went over morning, see if it put anything off in the night. There'd be one train coming in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one early in the morning and one of evening when they'd go to blowing. And I was here, and I'd run back up there every morning before I went to school, or I'd stop going. And then in the spring, they sent all kinds of shrubs and bushes and baby chickens. And then when the war, what was the first war after that? Was that?
World War II.
World War
mm-hmm.
II.
Mm-hmm.
I got lots of Soldier Boys
oh, really?
Clothes back.
Mm-hmm.
And what I did, I always went to the telephone and called them as in this on this route,
mm-hmm.
Coppell Route, where they'd be up here. And I'd call them and ask them when they wanted to come, so I'd be here, you know,
mm-hmm.
when they could come and get the clothes. I did. I got a lot
so
of.
So you were working at the school at the same time?
About the time I started. I don't know what year I started there.
This was in the cafeteria, in the lunchroom.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And it was down there at Pinkerton, where Pinkerton is, and it burned during that
mm-hmm.
time that I was working there. Catherine Parker and I started in.
Now, did you live here then?
I lived right here.
Right
yes,
here.
Sir.
Because were you already married, Floyd?
Law, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Billy was in school when I started
no,
working.
Oh, yeah.
School.
You said Billy was 8 or 9.
He's 8 or 9.
All right. Now, you would go from here.
I'd go from here.
Down here. Now, the depot, was it right down there where the other one was, right down there by Home Interiors?
It was on the left-hand side
yeah.
where there used to be a big slab there all the
mm-hmm.
time, you know,
mm-hmm.
where it sat.
Right.
It
I've
was
got a picture.
Few... It was a beautiful depot, the first one.
Is that it?
That's, the Teresa, even though you have
yeah,
that.
See, this is in that Elm Pork Echoes. This is out of that magazine.
What book was it in? I didn't get
it. It has
those.
Coppell on it, right there.
Oh, that's it. And I'd unlocked this door here.
Mm-hmm.
And over here sliding doors, and they put the freight
mm-hmm.
in there.
So what they'd do is they'd unload it at night or in the morning and lock it up.
Oh, yeah.
And you'd go back up there with the key and take care of it.
Uh-huh. Twice a day.
Now, what about,
I didn't stay all day.
What about passengers? If passengers got off, they didn't go in the depot?
No.
It wasn't there.
No. I think that had already stopped, Pete. I don't think there was any passengers getting off.
41. You never did see many passengers?
No. It was just things they picked up here. Now, I shipped a lot of clothes and things
mm-hmm.
to the Soldier Boys, lots of suitcases and
mm-hmm.
lots of packages.
Mm-hmm.
And they taught me how to do that. Wasn't no problem when I learned.
Mm-hmm.
I was awfully nervous because I'd never worked in my life. All I was a housewife and a mother and a home farmer. And
mm-hmm.
a farmer.
Now, you say that there were 2 trains a day when you started
2 work? Trains, every morning and every evening.
Mm-hmm. And that's all? There weren't any more?
Well, that left anything. Now, they was old freight trains and all day long coming
mm-hmm.
through.
Mm-hmm.
But long as I knew about what time, you know. And
mm-hmm.
I'd run up there to see if they left any perishables. I didn't have to go unless it was something perishable.
Now, tell me. In 1941, how did you get from here to there? Did you walk?
No. Floyd had taught me how to drive the car to drive to school.
What kind of car did you have?
Well, it's a Model A, I think they called it.
Uh-huh.
I believe it was.
You get up there and drive up there and do your work for what, an hour?
Put in, or it had a lovely place to drive in right beside the track, you know. And the depot didn't set right against the road mm-hmm. going across. You remember?
Yeah.
Oh, right here. And as long, it was a good little ways up here, you see, mm-hmm. to where we go across.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just drive across. And I'd go in this door right here. And mm-hmm. this is sliding doors. I've never seen one of the pictures. And mm-hmm. I've always wanted one.
Well, you know, they built another one after this.
Oh, yeah, the little one.
The little
oh,
one
yeah.
that Terry Kirkland eventually got.
I was, yes, I was in it, too.
Yeah,
yes, sir. But I started in this one. And
now, why did they tear this one down and build another one?
Well, because they was not going to handle any freight, nothing mm-hmm. but what came off of the passenger trains,
mm-hmm.
just like a suitcases, mm-hmm. and then in the spring, baby chickens and something that they'd have in the smoke room or something. Mm-hmm. But
do you remember about when they tore down the old one and built a new one?
No, I have no idea. But this was the nicest big thing in Florida.
Well,
what was
in
there.
It? What was in it?
Well, I'll tell you what was in it. On this side, there were some benches to sit on.
Mm-hmm.
And in about the center there was a great big coal stove. And the little office then was in between the freight room and the passenger room where people would come in.
So
and
the passenger
it.
Room was on the
it was on
west
this
side.
Side. It okay. was on this side.
Now this and side would be facing this direction, is that right?
Facing south.
Oh, this See, side's facing south?
This is facing south, just exactly like this as you cross the railroad. This would be the end of it.
Oh, I see.
Right
so
here.
This end...
This is the front of it.
Right. That
facing
faces
over
the
there at the Petersons, or was
yeah,
that their name?
Peters, uh-huh.
Garden. I mean, cotton crop.
Mm-hmm.
And all of them that worked there. Right?
So it faces the same way as the new one.
It faces it and was a lot smaller.
Mm-hmm.
They
mm-hmm.
tore all those big ones down
mm-hmm.
and just it's called a substation.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Now?
Now, I spent all day long up there once a month to making out my report. And
oh, did
Floyd
you?
Would build a fire, and I'd stay all day. And sometimes he'd run me up there so he could run me back a snack at lunch and take me back.
Now, if you
day.
Didn't stay all day on a regular day, if you just stayed a little while,
oh,
how long did you stay?
About an hour.
An hour twice a day?
Twice a day. I'd stay about an hour. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then I'd go back any time and during the day. They'd come over to school and get me because then we just had 70 to cook for, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we had so much time to sit and talk
right.
and visit. And they'd come get me and I'd ride with them. I'd run and I'd always kept the keys with me. And I'd run and unlock it and get their packages, whatever it was.
Oh, somebody who wanted to pick something up.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh. And then uh-huh. I'd tell them to come after 1 o'clock. Come back, if they call me, come after 1, and I'd meet them up there
mm-hmm.
to ship it out, you
mm-hmm.
know,
mm-hmm.
and I wouldn't leave, but I never left Father's certain
right.
lunch.
Right.
But
tell me,
I'm glad you're asking me all this. I just love it. I love it better than John.
Now, when you quit working for the railroad, which was in about, would that be 55?
I don't know.
You said you worked 14 years.
I worked 14 years. And if I
to be about 55.
If that was correct.
Now, did you quit working for them because they didn't need an agent anymore?
Oh, they tore it down. They moved it. Well, Hubert and Laura
mm-hmm.
bought it for Billy Kirkland's
mm-hmm.
little boy,
mm-hmm.
Terry.
Mm-hmm.
They bought it for Terry.
Right.
And he played with it up here, put trains in it and played in it.
So
I don't know if it's still up there now.
No, it's not there anymore.
It is.
But it was because they no longer needed anybody to do anything because the trains weren't that important anymore.
They quit. I'll tell you what had happened, honey. All of these express trucks and taking over
mm-hmm.
trucks, which is mm-hmm. still doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You see them all the time of stopping and leaving things at people's houses.
Right.
Now, that was what I was handling, these packages.
Mm-hmm.
I saw the one the other day putting something on Marilyn's porch because
mm-hmm.
she wasn't at home.
UPS or something.
Oh, yeah. That's what
okay, now, because you knew something about the railroad, now, you're probably not going to know this, but I'm going to pick your brain anyway,
that's
okay?
That's all right.
Do you tell me what you remember? Do you remember anything, Clayton, about why Coppell is named Coppell?
Yeah, I've got that history.
Well, tell me.
Let me read this to you.
Yeah.
This is the only thing that I found that wasn't in the trunk.
Okay.
And I had that in, and I was reading it after you called me. I thought, well, now I saw
now,
that.
Now, what is this? What is this here?
This is Briefs of Coppell.
That's from who did that?
I did it.
Oh, you wrote it. Okay, all right. All right.
And Martha Gilmore bought it from me. Mm-hmm. I read it to her, mm-hmm. and she read through the senior citizens in with what she had. Now, mm-hmm. she was raised here, mm-hmm. born here, mm-hmm. and she's in her 60s, and she knows a lot of history about Columbia, mm-hmm. but she didn't know a lot of this.
Yeah.
But there's one thing here that Martha Jo didn't agree with me. She thinks that's wrong, and someone else does, and I'll tell you, but that's just what I have. That when I get down to it.
Okay.
I've got the town of Coppell, Texas, Dallas County. In the early 1830s, settlers started coming in and homesteading at Grapevine Springs Creek. There were numbers of large trees which stood around the creek and the beautiful spring of water flowing out of the rocks. Wasn't long until a little town sprung up. Now, that's my own writing now, my own thinking. The town was called Gibbs. The post office was first to be built, Gibbs Post Office. Then a bank, a blacksmith shop, two grocery stores, two dry goods stores, a drug store, a doctor's office, two cotton gins, a lumber yard, and others sprung up right after that. Now, that's what I have. In 1889, now started with 1830, the settlers down there at that, letting their horses drink and everything and in the camping. In 1889, the name of Gibbs was changed to Coppell. Now that's when the train started coming through. Coppell, Texas, one of the first towns in the North Texas area to have a train making daily stops, leaving off the mail. That was the purpose when it started through here. Mm-hmm. And the man that worked so hard getting the train, the St. Louis Southwestern, through the little town was the engineer named Mr. Coppell. The depot station was named Coppell Depot. Then it wasn't long. See, it was Gibbs, and they changed it then.
Yeah.
Let's see. The man that worked so hard getting the train, St. Louis Southwestern, through the little town, was an engineer named Mitch Coppell.
The depot station was named Coppell
Depot. They changed it from
Gibbs. Okay, now, you know what? This is a new bit of information. Now, I knew about Gibbs, and I knew about the railroad changing the name. Now, tell me, how do you know it was the engineer? How do you know that? Do you remember?
I don't know how.
You just believe it was the engineer, the guy that ran the train.
His name was Coppell, Mr. Coppell.
It really was. You don't
it
remember
was.
His first name.
That's what Aunt Myrtle, you know, was a depot agent ahead of
Aunt
me.
Myrtle. Mr. Who's that?
Aunt Myrtle Hurst, Papa's sister. She lived in this big two-story that's 4 years ever born.
So
lived
she's not alive anymore.
No, she's dead.
She says it was the engineer.
She says it.
You don't remember his first name?
It's just his last name was Coppell, and that's all.
You don't remember him?
But did you know, I guess that's locked up, or I don't think I did. I don't destroy anything. I'm just a pack rat.
Uh-huh.
Everything in here is just junked up with things. I can't throw away things.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, and I found this one day I know where I got it. Around the post office was right up here where we walked. A letter came in to the postmistress or postmaster. Wanted to know if anyone in Coppell knew anything about why Coppell was named Coppell.
Mm-hmm.
She said, "My name is Coppell, Miss Coppell."
Mm-hmm.
And so we looked that all up, and we found, we traced that. That's been a long time ago. And sure enough, it was some of her relatives that was driving.
Now, was that a woman who lived in London?
I don't know where she lived. My letter is in the trunk up there, I guess.
Now, I think that was a letter that came to Mr. Thompson at the elementary school, wasn't it? And somebody who lived in London wanted to know if we knew somebody.
Well, I think we'll sit that on up there.
Uh-huh. But you think that was another one?
No, I don't think. Same letter.
Same one.
Same person.
Okay, because I talked to Mr. Thompson about that, and he said y'all weren't able to tell him too much.
No, we did. We couldn't tell him too much.
Think it was the engineer of the train that came through in 18...
Yeah, named Coppell. I do. I really believe that. And then
you believe that because you heard Mrs. Hurst
and others.
Is it H-U-R-S-T?
Uh-huh, Myrtle Hurst.
Myrtle Hurst,
Papa's
who was
only sister.
Your father's
sister,
so your aunt.
My aunt. Mm-hmm.
You heard her say that it was the engineer. Did you ever know this man, Mr. Coppell, or was he older than that?
Oh, that'd be...
Well, no, that'd be before you were born.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Because he'd be driving it in 1889.
If that's when that...
Yeah.
If this is correct. Mm-hmm. In 1889, the name of Gibbs was changed to Coppell.
Yeah,
one of the first towns in the North Texas area.
So you think he was the engineer?
I think so. That's because I've been told so much. It's the only clue I have, Pete.
Because I have worked real hard to trace it down. The railroad office in St. Louis communicated with me and said they couldn't trace it down. Said they had no records of anybody ever working for the railroad named Coppell. But they said it might have been lost.
Yes.
I also know that nobody around here who owned land was ever named Coppell.
No.
So it had to be somebody who worked for the railroad.
Oh, yeah. That's what I've always told them.
Do you know there's not more than 19 people in all of America whose last name is Coppell?
Mm-hmm.
I've been tracing it, and you can't find anybody.
I've got to get that letter and let you read it, because I got from a woman named Miss Coppell.
Yeah. I bet there's a couple that lives in London. And I know, I've talked to
It was foreign, all right.
I've talked to a man who's named John Coppell III, who lives in New York. But he has no idea anything about his relative. He doesn't know anything about him at all.
Hmm.
Okay, go on. Tell me, what else you got there?
Let's see then. I got to this. The man that worked so hard getting the train, the St. Louis Southwestern, through the little town, was the engineer named Mr. Coppell. The depot station was named Coppell Depot. It wasn't long until people got together and decided to change the town from Gibbs, Texas, to Coppell, Texas, because the train was running through.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where the Gibbs came from. I have it somewhere up there to kids. Mm-hmm. Coppell is a historical town. Sam Houston signed a peace treaty with the Comanche Indians at the Coppell Springs Park. So someone told me that wasn't, Martha Jo told me that wasn't correct.
Well, he did come here and wait.
Yeah.
He tried to.
Yeah, that's what she said. But
he almost did it.
But it didn't happen, she said. The large trees still stand where this took place. You reckon that's the same tree still living? It's going to be an old one.
I don't know which one it is.
There's a notch on it.
Mm-hmm.
And before it all grew up down there, it was still there.
Now tell me, is it back up off of the road, you know, that road that Van Bibbers lived on that's called Barton Street? Is it there, or is it on down in the park, the tree that you're talking about?
Well, it's not too far down in the park. It's on this side of the beautiful park.
Mm-hmm. But it is...
It's on this side where the trees start. It's not way off over on the
But it
side.
Is inside the fence. It is on the inside.
Oh, yes, right next to the little brook are running through, not too far from it. I could go right straight to it. I was down there so much. Because I went to a ball game all the time, let me tell you then what happened. Work began, I've got to where the trees are standing. Work began in the early 30s to construct a park commemorating it as a historical site. This was during the time of the Recovery Act from the Depression. The Work Progress Administration, WPA, was assigned to construct the park. During this work, then I go off on something else. The WPA workers did this. That gave them all a job. See, I can remember that when they was cleaning that out. And you've been down there, haven't you, Lisa?
Yeah.
And building all those pretty little bridges across there and putting that well around that spring, making it look so, it was just gorgeous just to
lose it. Now, while they were building it, did you go down there and watch them? Or?
Oh, yes. I'd go down there, walk down there. We'd walk down there and watch them as they'd fix these things. And I was there on opening day. Oh, it was gorgeous.
Well, now, tell me about opening day. I haven't heard anybody tell me about that.
I've got a brief of it here.
Okay, go ahead. Right.
It's the biggest day in the history of Coppell ever will be.
Oh,
We've got all these people here. They came from everywhere. like the Sweets from Wichita Falls and everywhere that donated the land, and people from off everywhere. But I don't have the date when it was. Okay. The word program, the WPA was assigned to do this. That gave them all work. During the work, one of the town residents dug up a dinosaur skeleton, which is on exhibit at SMU in Dallas now.
You know who that was? That was my grandfather.
That's right. Yeah, over on his farm. Yeah, I got that in some of the letters up here. This is a brief. This just says brief from my book, big book, you know. This was a brief that I wrote for some school kids, and I run across it after you call me. At the completion of the park, hundreds of people came, and that was right, they were hundreds, came from the dedication service. Even the governor of Texas was there, and I'm trying to find out his name. I didn't write it down. I thought that my mind would always be, I guess. I didn't think I'd ever need that. And someone said, well, who was the governor of Texas when that park? And he threw the first ball. That was a beautiful ballpark, Pete. That was a long time before you was ever born, wasn't it?
Well, I've got it written down as when they did it. It was 36 or something like that.
That's about right. Billy's born in 31, and he is about 5 or 6 years old.
Go on.
Oh,
that's great.
It's all really flew here. All right. At the completion of the park, hundreds of people came for the dedication service. Even the governor of Texas was present. A beautiful ballpark was on the south side of the park. It run to the railroad track where the fence was. The day closed with a baseball game, which Coppell won, and the governor of Texas threw the first ball. And now I've got his name and a question mark there.
Well, it's whoever was governor of Texas from 1937 or 8.
They whenever started, they completed
they started that building it in 1937.
Yeah.
The Sweets donated the land in 36.
Uh-huh.
Sometime in 37 it was built. You know how much it cost to build it?
$25,000.
$25,000.
Pretty
spam. Now, you said there were hundreds of people there.
They were.
Did they have picnics?
Oh, yes, and little booths put up, just like you see at the fair.
Mm-hmm.
See, they have this two openings to get in.
Mm-hmm.
One down here, you know, and had a beautiful, I don't know what Mr. Webb Wet Roberts took that down for, so he could really put stock in there and things. You know. Or no, it'd be private to his house. It had staying there a long time ago, too. Not just fancy as this one up here. Mm-hmm. This had the name of it. But here was another opening, and it had a kind of a thing up over the top, but didn't have it fixed nice like this.
So the one over here where on Park Street,
right there,
the thing up over it, and the thing over here close to the railroad depot had just the two pillars? Or did it have a thing over the top?
Oh, it had a thing over the top,
did
and
it
the
too?
Name of it. Beautiful. It just has the two side pieces that
and they called it what? Coppell?
I think it said Coppell Park.
Coppell
I'm not
Park.
Sure now. I'm making that up. That's the word now. Yeah.
And so they had booths and picnics and ball games?
That first opening. Oh, they came from everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
All of the kin folks that helped donate all the ancestors of the mother's people that was heirs of the land down there, you see, that donated her two first cousins. One of them was a Sweet, and the other was Evelina Sanders, a Sanders. And Mama's mother was a Sanders, you see. Her grandparents were Sanders. She was Bessie Harrison, Tom Harrison's daughter. But all of their kin folks is the Corbins, Harrisons, and Sanderses.
Mm-hmm.
All of them at Grapevine and everyone you run across. They're all kin folks.
Mm-hmm.
And they came from everywhere to see what they've done with this land. How many acres was that, Pete? Well, you got out
there. Well, I didn't write it down, but I
wonder how many acres that was. It started up here at this top hill road.
About 7 or 10 or something. I have a copy of the deed at home. I went to this Austin.
You sure enough.
I went to Austin and actually found, well, Dallas. There's a copy of it in Dallas.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, then it reverted, you know, after they stopped using it.
Because
Coppell couldn't keep it up.
No,
so
it's awful.
Now, when you were working for the railroad by 41, was there still a park there? It's still there, right? That park probably stayed there until the 50s, didn't it?
It just stayed there till it grew up. Nobody'd work it out. That's what just breaks my heart.
Yeah. So it may have gone pretty quickly then.
It did. It went pretty quickly.
The earliest remembrance I have of it is when I was very young. It was all fenced off already.
Already then.
And Webb Roberts owned it, I guess, already.
Already, I guess.
But I remember they opened it up one time for us to have an Easter egg hunt. So I guess on special occasions, he would let people go down there.
He would.
And you know, he kept it up.
Uh-huh.
He kept it up until about, 10 or 11, 12 years ago.
He didn't put stock in there, did he?
And he kept all the bridges and everything?
Yeah. Well,
it was just like it was. Now it's not.
Now you'd be, people's afraid to go look at it on top of stock.
Yeah. Well, it's all bad. And
I know it. And grown up. It's awful.
Okay. So let's see. All right. We talked about the railroad. Let's cover all the subjects. Talked about the railroad. You worked there, and what you been?
14 years.
Guess that pretty well covers the railroad. Would you start that coal? You said it was a coal stove.
I didn't go real that far from. Yeah, they had a little building out in the back full of coal, and then they had, what did you call these? As I've gotten older, I can't remember all these things. A little old car that would, they'd leave there for the section crew to get on and to ride.
Yeah.
What'd they call it? Just a little old
hand car.
Hand car, that's the name. Well, they had a little building for that. And did you know, after they moved the station, it was getting ready to do away with it, you know, and not ship anything else. And that merged to the Coffield with the Carrollton and Grapevine. Now they don't even have Grapevine. It's tore down too, you know. Mm-hmm. But Carrollton's still over there, I think. Terry is still working over there.
Yeah.
But anyway, one time before they did away with everything, while I was still working up there, I went up there that morning to meet that first train, be there. They had the key. I didn't have to always be there when the train got there, but most of the time I'd drive in before they left and talk to them. And they was very courteous and nice and everything. And after Halloween, I just hate Halloween. After Halloween night, the next day I went up there and somebody had broken in and gotten that little hand car, and they said run that thing up and down the road all night long, and they pushed it down, and we finally found it way down the track in the ditch. Mm-hmm. You know how sloping it is. Mm-hmm. And it was gone, and it worried me because I thought, well, now they'd wonder, you know, who'd steal that. And they found it, and Floyd and some men went down there and got it out. They used to think of everything. And one night, Pete, this didn't make any difference about that, but just showing you how rough these big boys were around here, and they'd get things like that, and they'd ride the wheels off of it. That hadn't been well built, they'd done that. They'd tie little coaster wagons behind cars and run them all night long. And we'd always have to put everything up. And one time they got one of our porch chairs and drug it off.
About the railroad men.
Okay.
When they would come, the railroad men, you said you'd go and talk to them, they were very courteous.
They were.
It'd be an engineer. He's the one who ran it.
And the family in the caboose was always a big shot, too.
So that was the conductor?
I don't know. Yeah, the one that rode down, he'd wave.
So there were two people on every train.
Oh, more than that, Pete.
More workers than that?
Yeah, there'd be two up there in that engine.
Huh?
That was when the passenger trains were coming.
Yeah.
That I'm speaking of too. And then
did you ever ride the train?
Oh yeah.
Where'd you go?
I went to Cattle Mills to see my aunt that was the depot agent and moved to Cattle Mills.
Oh really? Now she was the depot agent here?
Yep.
She was before you?
Before me.
I see. How long did she work for it, do you know?
I don't know. She worked for several years. She got the job after her husband died. It was black.
Now, she did the same thing you did?
Oh, yeah.
Go up there twice
the
a day or
something? Uh-huh. She pulled a... she had to go get the mail, that was sure. And she had a little red wagon that brought the mail down.
Mm-hmm.
And to the post office for a long, long time. It had just been stopped, I think, a short time whenever.
Mm-hmm.
She moved and I was checked
you
in as an agent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you would go up there, and if it was cold weather, Floyd would make you a fire.
Oh, you bet.
And particularly
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's just for me. Just for me.
Oh, well, it
nobody's going to hear it.
Well, okay.
On the days that you were there all day, he'd sure build you a fire.
Floyd
would he build you a fire if you were only going to be there for an hour or so?
Oh, yeah, if it's real cold weather.
Yeah. What if it was real hot? Was it cool in there?
Cool. It had big windows. I had no fan or anything. Yeah. They didn't need it because it wasn't up there long.
Yeah.
But, and I always, in the summer, there was about 3 months that it would be pretty hot the day that I'd spend the day, you know.
Yeah.
But I'd open up the windows and it'd come through because it was facing the south, the depot was. And it had windows in the north, too. And it'd make a suction through, you see.
Well, now tell me, Clay, if somebody who lived in Coppell wanted to get on the train to go to Dallas, would they buy a ticket from you?
No, I never sold tickets.
They just get on the train?
It was down over with, no. There was very little of that. I don't know about that. Now,
probably just get on the train and buy their tickets from the conductor or something.
I guess so. There wasn't very much of that, too.
Yeah. Okay.
It all stopped, and it was everything, you know, different. Transportation. And
did a lot of Coppell farmers ship their cotton out on the train?
Yes, they did. That was just full. And Mr. Cooper had gotten promoted away from here, you know.
Now, what did he work? He worked for?
He was a depot agent for years where he was busy all day long, you know.
Oh, I see.
Uh-huh. And then when they made a substation, they called it, you know. Whenever they did away with everything like that. But there was some cotton. He was just got the grapevine. He was moved to Grapevine, Carrollton one. Which
so you think he was the railroad agent probably from the beginning then, maybe? And then your aunt took over?
Yeah.
And your aunt took over in the end?
After it was beginning to dwindle down everything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She went and got the mail.
Let's turn our attention back to the city of Coppell a little bit. You were born in 1908.
I was. Let me push the front door to it.
Okay.
Getting kind of
cool. Okay, sure.
I got hot and I turned out my stove and
Okay, let's turn our attention back to the town of Coppell.
Okay.
What's your earliest memory? When you were a girl, you lived somewhere down south of Coppell, right?
No.
No?
We were right down there.
Oh, that's right. You told me down there. Right.
We're by Ruby Hood's.
Right.
And we walked to school.
Okay. And where did you go to school?
Right out here. You've seen the picture of the...
Right across here?
Right out across there. The two-story room school.
That's where you started in school?
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I started. And one of the teachers, a first grade teacher, boarded with us.
Uh-huh.
And we lived at the corner of that road just before you turn to the right, you know, where that was a white house. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
They just tore it down recently.
Uh-huh.
And it was close enough for us to walk to school. We'd wrap up, but I'd ride with the teacher. I started when I was five and went some that year.
Uh-huh.
And then
so you'd ride up that road and come right up
right
here,
around
right
there to school.
There. Now, when you were very young going to school, let's say when you were either 5 or 6 or 7 or 8, going to school in this building over here, what buildings would you pass? What was in Coppell then? What businesses?
Just all of these, none of that I read. I know that we could get ribbon there, we could get light, we could, as it had dry goods store.
So a dry goods store was where? Where the, right
this,
there?
This whole side down. You know, we had a big water tank right out there. And clear up from the corner there, down here, which is solid, and on the other side, too. And the Woodman, big Woodman building was two-story. Did you ever remember
that? Now, where was that?
Where this little house right up here, but Aunt Myrtle built from that. She gave Albert Hodge the big two-story Woodman building that she lived in and had a store down below. She bought it.
Now let me figure out where that is. It'd be right down here on my right or my left?
You're right. Right up here where this fella has just moved in, right up here beside of Jeff's store.
So the little white, right on the corner. The little white house, that Bill Cosby was when he died.
That's exactly right.
So there was a Woodman of the World building there, two stories.
Absolutely.
And it, below it was a grocery store.
And below it was a grocery store that my aunt bought out after her husband died. She had to make her own living.
And that was one who was the railroad agent.
And that's the one then she closed it up to go up and get the mail until her little girl got big enough to watch it. She grew up at
Now coming this way, what was on the other side of it?
The drugstore.
Okay. Was it two stories?
No, it was one story.
One story.
Miss Minnie McGee's, and had the post office in it. And Myrtle would go get
the post office was in the drugstore.
That's when
you were a little girl.
That's right.
Okay, so that would be on that side of the street.
That side of the street were.
Where the story is, that little story is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Then what would be coming on? What would be on the on this? What would be next?
No, and now we're going up this way with the. The drugstore and the post office in it going up south.
Oh, you're talking about...
Right on the corner.
So on the corner would be the Woodman.
And my aunt had a grocery store there.
Uh-huh.
And across it was a big filling station there.
On our property?
Your mama's name's land. Your aunt
there was a filling station there. Now tell
big
me about
one.
It. Do you know who ran it?
Oh, yeah. Emmy Gentry for years.
Okay.
Years.
And it had, filling pumps?
Oh, yes.
Do you remember what brand of gas it was?
I don't know. It's been so long.
What color was it? Do you remember?
I don't remember, but it was a big, fine filling station.
Really was.
I'll tell you what, Pete, I'll tell you how long it stood there, and I don't know how much longer after. Floyd had a beautiful barber shop when we married in 1927.
Mm-hmm.
Right down here. It was Aunt Lena Sanders' building. And it was right up here about where what's these initials of this place right here?
NAPTA.
Right up there. He had a beautiful shop with a bathroom, and the farmers would come in. You've read all these pieces.
Take a bath for a dime.
Mm-hmm. Furnished the soap and towel. Mm-hmm. Only bathtub in whole country.
Yeah.
And it was back there. And he had just bought. Now this goes. Now this isn't the funny thing you'd be interested in about the city. But Floyd and Lloyd, the twin brothers, had just gone in and went into town and bought them a combination mirror set. It was beautiful and. was two or three years payment this going to get to pay on it, and it was a fine shop, and they barbered and had all the business they could do, but most all of it was they'd pay once a year, the farmers. And I've got a stack of bills this long that Floyd kept, you know, people never did pay all that didn't make a difference about that, but he had a good living, but most all it came in the at one time, you know. But anyway, just right after we'd married and was living out there where the cable outfit is, the house where Ann McNear's house burns, you know, that was the house. And we lived in one side of it and had the other side rented because we weren't able to pay $8 for the whole big house.
Mm-hmm.
We paid four, and Uncle Ernest and Aunt Pearl for a long time, and then Duncan Harrison, Clifton, and Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Lived on in one side of it.
Mm-hmm.
And they paid for it, and we paid for it.
Now, that was the house that used to have the telephone operator.
That's the one right there, that's later.
Mm-hmm. It was the same house?
It's the same house.
Okay.
You know, Miss...
Now,
Ann McNear's mother running.
Miss Bradshaw or something like that?
Miss Bradshaw.
Mm-hmm. Okay, as we're going south,
Okay.
And you talked about the drugstore.
Uh-huh.
Now, was that the old drugstore that was there even when I was a kid? And it was big and had glass.
That's right.
It was there.
And one of the school teachers slept around that woman after her husband died.
Now, you say across the street on our property was the...
The big science excavator.
That was right on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
What then, as you keep going south, after you pass the drugstore, what was next? Do you remember?
It was our home right there.
On the right.
Right there. You know where Grandpa and Mama lived there.
Now, are you talking about the house that Mary Evelyn Cosby lives in now?
No. I'm just talking about the house that Papa lived
in. Oh, you mean
in,
on
you
the
know,
other side?
Right
yeah,
there.
The big, okay,
on this
yeah.
Side.
Yeah,
so I'm on the left-hand side of going south.
Right. So there was nothing between the service station, the filling station, and your parents' house?
Well, yeah, no, there was a little brown house, not painted, little house running it across this way.
Right.
And it was a rent house. Don't know who owned it, but different people lived in it. Because
mm-hmm.
we always had neighbors there. George Carloy and his wife, and Lucille. You've heard Lucille Carloy, I know. Mm-hmm. She's a lot older than you. She's the age of what would be my sister. She's mm-hmm. in her late 60s now. Well, they lived there.
They lived there.
And they come
house.
In now. They was people were good neighbors, but that it was turned this way. And the Dickersons, when he run the store down here, they lived out there. Mm-hmm. Big family out there.
So it was just a small house?
About two little bedrooms and kitchen and things like that.
And it ran north and south?
It ran north and south.
Okay.
I can just see.
All right,
it.
So your father's house.
Uh-huh.
Okay, then what was next?
A pasture. There was a space between that big hearse house up there where Frank Carter lived,
uh-huh.
you know. It was a beautiful place. And
so there was really nothing there until they built the cotton gin. Remember, eventually they built the cotton gin.
Oh, yeah, right out there, yes.
But that was before that.
And then the people that had the cotton gin, the McFalls, Mr. and Miss McFall, they built that pretty little house out there. That
rock house?
The little rock house.
Uh-huh.
They built that.
And they owned
the
cotton gin?
And they owned the first cotton gin out there.
Uh-huh.
We had two here.
Uh-huh.
One up here.
One up here where the old Assembly of God Church used to
exactly
be?
Exactly right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But it was the first one up there, wasn't it?
It was the first
one. And then they built this one over here.
But they had them at the same time at one time.
Oh, did they?
And there was enough cotton. Everybody raised cotton around mm-hmm. here. But that thing, that's gone with the burn.
Okay, so you'd see the new cotton gin.
Uh-huh.
And then the next building would be Frank Harville's house. You said it was, what was their name? Frank Harville's house was called, who lived there originally?
The Hearst place.
Hearst
built there.
Okay, then what was after that? What was between there and the railroad?
I don't think anything, but pasture.
Okay, what was on the other side of the street?
Not always farmland.
So once you passed the drugstore on the right, there was nothing all the way to the railroad?
As far as I can remember. Then, after that, after the drugstore, Miss Minnie McGee's house sat there by. She built that first house along there. The one Mary Evelyn is in.
The one that was south of the drugstore.
She was talking the other day about what an old house she had. She said, Peter, I know my house is older than yours. And I said, well, I don't know. And she said, I think I've got the oldest house in Godfell. And I said, I don't think so. I said, this had a switchboard in front of it. And I said, one room built on the time. And I said, I feel like the front part of this one is the oldest one. I don't know. But she said, well, you know, Miss Minnie McGee built this years ago when she was running the post office.
Now, Clayton, as you come back up this street towards your house here.
When you turn the corner from the depot?
Let's tell me what was along here. The Woodman building on the corner.
On the corner.
And then you have, what was where that little store is now? What would you have on this side of it?
A big blacksmith shop.
There's a blacksmith shop right there where that little grocery store is.
A big blacksmith shop.
Who ran it? Do you remember?
Well, my Uncle Ed did.
Uncle Ed who?
Hearst.
How do you spell his name again?
H-U-R-S-T.
S-T, Hearst.
He run that.
Okay.
And then the side of that.
Uh-huh. This side?
On this side, there was a big grocery store, too.
Another grocery store?
But I don't know who run it first. But I know several people later when I was big enough to know, you see. I don't remember these. I have here that let's see what all they had here. Two dry goods stores, and I know the first one starting on this end where the little
bathroom.
No, way up here, the far end, that I guess that Larry and Dolly has that. They do. Little ice cream stand like for a while there.
Uh-huh.
And it was a nice laundry when Mitchell had it, you know. Well, that was up right along there. They had a fine dry goods store. Uh-huh. And Uncle Bill Stringfellow then had the big grocery store. And then as big a place as his groceries was, he had a side store and had a clerk over in there. And he sold all kinds of piece goods. He just had a regular...
Now, where was Stringfellow's store? Where was it?
It was the second one. It right along here.
On this
starting
side of the street?
On where Dolly's. And then
okay, right where Dolly's.
Is. That was solid buildings along there.
Uh-huh.
Solid building.
So somewhere around where Dolly's is was Stringfellow's store in Napa, where Napa is.
Yes, yes. But
it was all a big
store. A little further up, as close as they could get, you know, this way.
Uh-huh.
And so my grandpa Harrison, you've seen that great big two-story building that we built into a indoor basketball court. You know about that.
Well, I've heard about it, but that's where that was, wasn't it?
In my grandpa's store.
Uh-huh.
You haven't seen that picture?
Yeah, I have.
You've
seen
it.
And that's where that was.
That's
so you're saying there were there two stores there then, where Dolly's and Napa is?
Oh, yeah.
You know, two right side by side?
Yeah. Well, it might have been the building in between with something else, but there's always, yes. They
now,
were.
Clayton, what was there between?
Two dry goods stores.
Okay, what was there between that dry goods store and here? On this side of the street, what was
well, it'd be down to where the big well was, you know, the big over tank thing.
And the washateria.
And the washateria.
When was it built? Do you remember it being there from...
Well...
It couldn't have been built until a long time later because...
No, it was a long time later.
They had washing
later.
Machines in it.
No, it's just... I'll tell you, it was these kind that you run like this at first, you know, and the
hand
first
operated.
Hand washers came out. And I don't know who that first one, unless it was Mr. and Miss Herman Brown put in a laundry in here.
Okay, now on the other side of the street,
okay,
when you pass the blacksmith shop,
yeah,
you said there was another grocery store. What would be, what else along here? You remember?
Well, it didn't come down too awful far, I don't feel like.
Just open
because I can't remember. It was... when I was a little girl, I'd come up here and get ice cream cones on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 5 or 6 years old, my daddy'd bring us after we'd work all day, helping get those that truck farm 15 acres while other people was out of the field and the girls was all getting to clean up on Saturdays for Sunday. You know, if it rained, well, we had to gather things or set out things after it rained. We never did get a day
off
Sunday.
What kind of crops did you grow?
Oh,
we
grew watermelons and cantaloupes and peanuts and everything imaginable. And Papa carried them to the market down here on Market Street in Dallas and sold them.
Mm-hmm.
We had 15 acres, but we rented all of this land up here for cotton and corn from my grandpa.
Now,
sharecropper.
Okay, so what about when you got here to the school building?
Uh-huh.
What was to the left of it? This side of it. Anything?
And Jenny Kirkland's house.
That's that house.
We all ran out there to get a drink, but every time that the hydrant froze up out there at the school, you know.
Okay, so the house is still there.
The house is still right there, and somebody living in it.
Uh-huh. Now, what was on the other side of the school? If you kept on going that direction, what was on the...
Oh, Grandpa Woods and his minor business. As far as I remember.
Mr. Woods had a minnow business?
Red Stringfellow was the first one. Now, Red Stringfellow lived there.
Now, where would that be? Where Mr. Woods' house was?
Was. That's exactly right. It was Red Stringfellow's. And then when the Woods came in, I'll tell you how long ago that was. Kenneth and Billy are the same age, and Kenneth was a little bitty baby, and that was 57 years ago. Billy will be 58.
So 57 years ago, there was a minnow placed there.
Oh, yes.
And
had
their
troughed out in front under those shade trees, right like they are now.
People would buy minnows to go fishing.
They sure did. Yeah. And that's how Lockett Woods made a living.
Now, when Mr. Woods... Now, the only time I remember, of course, is Mr. Woods living in that old house. It's gone now. Is that the same building?
Same building, as far as I know.
So he lived in that house after it stopped being a minnow.
Oh, yes.
Okay, now, as you now you know, there's a little bridge there.
Yeah.
As you go over that bridge, what would be on the left up down there?
I just really don't know. Well, little two-room houses all along there. And then this farmland came down, everybody farms, you know,
mm-hmm.
came down to the back of their backyard, you mm-hmm. know. But, oh, I don't know, the people, my friends, I'd go up there and stay all night after I got up.
So little houses all the way from that little bridge
all the way
to there.
I'll tell you where it stopped. Let's see, where is it? Over on the other side of this street, this road that turns left there, where McBride's farm place was,
uh-huh.
you know. Over on the uh-huh. other side was where my mother was born, right there in that corner.
Uh-huh.
You've seen that house of all them in this Peter's Colony.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
Well, that's
so
the home
that
place.
That was across the road from where the Assembly of God Church used to be?
Exactly right. The
there
first
house
right there, big house.
And your mother's name was?
Harrison.
Harrison, okay.
I could
W.O.
show you
Harrison.
No, Mama's daddy was... Thomas Jefferson. T.J.
Harrison.
Thomas Jefferson.
Okay, so there was a big house over there.
Great big
on the north side of the road.
And every one of the kids got married in the house. They got married.
Okay, were there any more houses going on toward Grapevine?
I can't picture any in my mind right now. Mm-hmm. I don't see any.
Okay, now tell me.
There was a gin on that side, the next
one was.
That was a gin.
And that was on the corner. Now, was it on... this side, of where the, right where the Assembly of God Church was, or was it on the other side where Minyard's is now?
It was on the other side of the road that turns out to the left.
So where that little Minyard's grocery store is.
That's where it was.
Uh-huh.
That wasn't the gym.
Oh, it wasn't?
That's where Grandpa and Grandma's house was.
Oh, that's where the house
uh-huh.
was.
And then right on up past that, I'll tell you where the gym was. You know where that cupboard goes across? You know what a cupboard is.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know you could turn right and go up, just go up like you're just going in a field? Or
yeah, it used to be called, it was a road kind of thing.
It was a road. Uh-huh. You, if it wasn't muddy weather, you could get through there.
And so the gym was on which side of the road?
It's on the left hand
on
side.
The left. So it
same
was behind.
Side, it was same side uh-huh. as my grandfather's
house. Did your grandfather's house face north or?
It faced exactly north this way.
Faced north. So it was actually on this road here.
It was right there. Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, do you remember?
I wish I had my Peter's Colony in here and showed you.
Well, I've seen it, Do you remember the road that used to go by where Terry Kirkland lived?
Oh, yeah.
Did you know that was called Coppell Road?
I didn't know. I forgot.
Did you know that it wanders back in there and goes to Grapevine?
Oh, sure.
Follows the railroad.
We've gone that way a lot.
Now tell me, Clayton, do you ever remember, as far as you can remember, as far back as you remember when you were a little girl, did this road here go all the way through to Highway 121 like you're going to Grapevine?
Or this one there?
Uh-huh. Or did it turn there where Terry lived and go, was that the only way you could go? Do you remember always being able to go to 121?
No, we didn't go that way.
How did you go?
The other way.
We went down here and turned.
We went by them way, the people that lived there.
So you went down here and
sure.
turned left. Did you have to turn left?
I guess so, I don't know.
So you'd turn left and go down there past mm-hmm. Terry Kirkland's house, Laura Kirkland.
You know what? We could either turn right up here or we could go further. Now, that's not where we turn, though, to go to Terry's right up here.
No. But it was further on down.
It was further on down. Because C.L. Nam's big house up there on the hill.
Right.
You know, we went, and then we went on up. But then after we got past that, we didn't go straight. We turned and kind of wound around to go
to the left
at one time. We sure did, but I don't know just how. Well, I don't think that highway coming from, that road coming from Louisville to Grapevine was there for a long time.
Okay.
I don't remember.
Now, we just got a little more.
Okay.
Let's go back down this way.
I don't have anything to do, Pete.
All right.
As we go
straight on down this road, instead of turning right and going to the railroad, let's keep on going.
Okay.
What do you remember? Now, there was the filling station.
Oh, you
on the right.
Big sign.
You remember the bank building?
You bet I remember.
All right, where was it?
It was on this side that was now.
On the left.
That was on the left.
Okay.
I've been in there many a time.
What kind of building was it?
It was a nice building.
Two-story?
No,
one-story.
But you open the door and you walk in, and let's see, what was it shaped like? I can just see it. I've just been in there many a time as a little girl.
What color do you remember it being?
I don't remember.
You just go in a couple of big double doors, or one door?
I just believe it's a single door.
Single door?
I'm not sure. I'm guessing.
Do you remember going up any steps to get
there? No, don't.
Just go right in.
Just like the other building.
What kind of floors did they have?
I don't know.
Hard floors?
But it was nice.
You go in, did they have cages, teller cages, or what did you see when you went in the bank? Do you remember? Was it one big room?
It was a long room, I know, and they had some chairs here for you to walk. If you're waiting,
right.
You know, of course, I did a little toe here.
Right.
That's been gone a long time.
Now, this bank building would be about where that laundromat is that the Mitchells put in?
Just about. Maybe a little bit further.
A little bit further
I don't know whether that little street was right there, that Mitchell Street was right there, huh? I believe houses came up a little further to Uncle Bill Stringfellow's house. See, he ran a business there for years, and that Mitchell house there was the first house.
So that house was there even when you were a little girl?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, so after you passed the Mitchell's house, then did you come to the house that you said you lived in?
Yeah, going that way, but a long ways down.
Yeah.
You
was there anything in between? Were there houses in between?
Yeah.
Were there more in between?
Yeah.
Now, as you went on past the house you used to live in, there was Miss, was her name McPherson? Standifer.
Oh, Cousin Moses. Oh, you're talking about when I married and lived there in the Bill Corbin house.
Yeah.
I thought you meant when I was a little bitty girl and going to my place.
When you married and you rented half the house.
Uncle Bill and I lived right beside him. I lived in the Bill Corbin house there under the big trees. Exactly. It was big enough, the space was, that they have two houses there now. They have the cable, and then they have this other one. Uncle Ernest and Aunt Pearl finally tore down the big house. No, they didn't. They sold it to Ann McNair, or somebody sold it to her, and her mother. And they built this little tight, good new house, because that was such a wide strip. But there wasn't anybody else living there. Uncle Ernest bought all of that. At one time.
Okay, so you had Maud, Aunt Maud.
Aunt, and the next one was Ted Maud Stamper right there. The next house.
Next
one, Emmett Coates.
Emmett Coates.
The best neighbors in the world. Yeah. We had them, Floyd and I, just little kids when we married.
Now, if you keep going.
And we kept going. And then we went on down. There wasn't no more. And then Mr. Cooper built that house down there that the parishes lived in, you know, a long time. So that parish.
The little one that's on the creek there, or that little, which one? The parish. Okay, it used to be blue and white.
Yeah.
Okay, and then you go beyond that, there's another little house down there at the bottom of the road, where the bottom road goes down.
Yeah.
Right there.
Uh-huh.
And then you keep going.
Oh, that, James L. Kirkland built that when his wife and him lived there.
And across the street from there is still another house.
Yeah.
Okay. As you keep going, you know, on the left-hand side.
On the left.
Wouldn't be anything until you get to the house that the Ledbetters used
to live in. That's right. And they had a church at one time on this side, but then they moved in.
Moved in. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then you keep going and you come to Miss Hood's house.
Right.
All right, now on the other side of the street, after you pass the filling station up here,
uh-huh.
Then you've got our house. Was there anything there? Do you remember? Was there something? We know our house was built in 45 or something like that. So was there? Do you remember anything when you were a little girl being there?
Well, I can't remember any space there, land, you know. Uh-huh. But
so you think there were houses in there?
Well, now, Emmett Gentry lived on down the street in his mother-in-law's house, which was looked like a two-story house, but it was just tall, and it was just for storage upstairs.
Now, let me see. That would be, where would that be? That would be across
and
the
it
street
burned
from,
one night.
Across the street from where?
It'd be about just straight across from Cudmore Stanford's
uh-huh.
house.
Okay. And then there probably weren't any houses till you got all the way down to what?
No, sir. There was another house on down there that an old couple named Mr. and Miss Grandma and Grandpa King. Oh, and they lived there till they was nearly 9 years old. I don't know why they owned it. I guess they did.
That would be approximately across the street from where the Parrishes lived?
Yes, it was. It's
okay.
Almost straight
across. Bert Parrish's
house. See, there was houses on each side. Running down to that little old creek,
mm-hmm.
that little culvert.
Mm-hmm.
That
culvert down there.
You
on
know?
The other side of the culvert,
was the
on the right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, on the other side. How about the other side of the street? Were there houses down on Park Street, going down toward the park when you turned?
I think it wasn't there then. I don't believe it. To save my soul, I don't believe.
Well, of course, it wouldn't come in until, it didn't come in until 36.
No.
No.
All right. It was there.
Now, Clayton, what about, do you remember Jeff Bennett?
I remember the name. He was a doctor, Dr. Jeff.
Do you remember him having a house somewhere there between the filling station and your and Mr. Plumley's house?
No, I don't.
You remember a drugstore in there?
Oh, yeah, I remember the drugstore.
On that side of the street.
But I don't know where that doctor is.
Now, I'm not talking about the one that's on this side of the street with
oh.
all the glass.
Uh-huh.
But I'm talking about on the other side of the street, on the same side of the street as the filling station.
And y'all's, your mother's
yeah.
place is,
yeah.
daddy's.
Or my grandmother's house. Old
and
house.
Your grandmother's house.
Do you remember a building? I got a picture. Mary Evelyn has a picture of that where there was an Oddfellows Hall above it. Remember anything about that?
Well, this Oddfellows Hall was on the corner up here that we talked about.
So I thought that was the Woodman.
Hey, let's see. It was a Woodman.
Okay.
Let's see. It was a Woodman.
Yeah. So the Woodman was on the corner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't remember, though, two different lodges here.
Yeah.
Maybe that was Oddfellows building that I've got mixed up with.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe it was the Woodman. I don't know.
Okay.
That,
she
that
has a picture of it.
Uh-huh.
And it is a drugstore run by Jess Bennett. Okay.
That's
a
long time ago. That's
yeah,
before I ever came to Texas.
Yeah.
Before I was ever born.
All right. Now, let me think. What else do I need to
black, you know.
Now, Clayton, what do you remember? Let me see. What about, all right, we've covered the stores. Kind of,
uh-huh.
Now, wait a minute. All these places you're telling me about, the houses and things that were around here, the filling station, the stores, that would probably be from the time you were, say, 5 or 6 years old until maybe you were, what would you say was the first major change in town? If I drew a map and I said the filling station was here and the drugstore was here and the grocery store was here and everything, how long would that be accurate for? Like, would you say by the time you got your job at the railroad, had everything changed a lot?
Yes, it had changed a lot.
There wasn't a blacksmith shop anymore, you think?
I don't remember one.
And so they had slowly torn these things down.
My uncle's burned. It burned it, and didn't have no insurance. Just like I was going to tell you, and I told you about Floyd and had to pay that out for 3 years.
Yeah.
And during the Depression, that combination mirror, you know, he's so proud of. And
well, now, I forgot to ask you. All right, Floyd had his barbershop down here, you say, where the Napa store is. When did he move to here?
Well, shortly after. They drug his chair out. They broke the door down. Of course, then, during the Depression, as in, that was in the about 1929 or 30.
Uh-huh.
Floyd and I had just been married. We married in 27,
uh-huh.
as before Billy was born.
Uh-huh.
And so they woke us up one night and told us About 2 o'clock in the morning, she says, top bell's burning up and your shop's burning up. But some of the people that got there first, of course, it was heavily insured next door to Floyd. They had plenty. And they hit them. Old man Dixon was fixing to retire. And people always thought, well, they just knew he did. They didn't think. Because they had all the evidence, you know, that he did.
Because
they saw him carrying lots of groceries home for a week or two before it ever burned. Just carloads of groceries. And it burned, but I wouldn't accuse anybody in things I didn't know possible.
But the barbershop like did burn.
Right next to it, it burned. Why, sure. There's just wood buildings, you know, just old frame buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And it burned to the ground. But they broke his front door in and pulled his barber chair out.
Uh-huh.
And he brought his tools home every night to keep somebody from stealing them.
Yeah.
He had a little leather bag and brought all of his tools home. And then Emmy Gentry told him in about 2 days after that, he said, Floyd, we've brought your chair over here and put it in my office. Oh, we had him in that big filling station across, right up there where your dad's lot is, mm-hmm. that beautiful place on the corner there, all of that. He had that corner with that filling station. He had a big office. He put that chair in there and Floyd just kept a barber.
Oh, really?
And then Cousin Minnie Nick that lived across over here, across the branch from us. She called Floyd one day. I don't know how she got in touch with him. I sent somebody to tell him to come over there. And she says, Floyd, I'm so sorry about your barbershop. And she said, they're moving the switchboard out of my building up here, this old building. The front of this was the switchboard.
The front of your current house?
Right here. And the three, that little piece of concrete's out there, you know, because that was the front door there.
So this was the first place that there was ever a switchboard in Coffin?
I don't know about that. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I presume so. I don't
and
know.
What
it went to houses. Now, I'll tell you, they moved the switchboard out into, what was her name? And she went with Baron Ledbetter till he died. Her husband, Miss Smith.
Uh-huh.
What was her first name? You know her, I bet you.
She lived across the street over there from us?
She lived right here in this and run this switchboard.
Mm-hmm.
And then they rented a house from Grandpa Harris and moved up here, and she moved the switchboard up there.
Uh-huh.
So Cousin Minnie, this was a bit empty then.
Uh-huh.
And Cousin Minnie Nix called Floyd over there, and she said, Floyd, I'm so sorry about you not having no place for your barbershop and everything and losing all your things, no insurance. Nobody's able to pay for insurance.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't hardly buy their groceries, much less pay insurance. So said, I want you to fix that up for you and I want you to put your barbershop there.
Mm-hmm.
And Floyd said, oh, come a minute, that's the nicest thing I ever heard of. And he said, I didn't know what I could do. And says, I'm just cutting power in there in the office of the of Emmy Gentry's garage.
Mm-hmm.
So he got his things together and he kept on and he fixed this up. And this front part of this living room right now, that front part there,
mm-hmm.
and this has been built on,
mm-hmm.
this last part. And so he went to barbering. And then one day he said, Plato, would you mind just us, you moving down there and us building on? Then she told him, she said, Floyd, I can't stand to take your money. I'm going to let you start paying out this place. She said, she had world's money. She said, I just love you and Plato. And she said, I'm going to let you just start now paying me what you're paying me rent, which I believe was $5 a month on this place.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I'd like to see you have that. And, it was this big tall weeds. I don't know what kind of weeds, broom weeds or some kind of big weeds has grown up clear at the back because they just use this for the switchboard and it's come in now. Nobody cleaned it up.
Mm-hmm.
And so we got, Floyd came down here and he said, well, that sounds awful good to me, Cousin Minnie. But said, I just hate for you to do that. She said, well, Floyd, she said, I want you to just pay me like you paying rent, and that'll go on this place Well, in 2 years, Floyd had it paid out because she didn't want but $300 for it. And so Floyd got to doubling up on his payments. Mm-hmm. And then he got to saving it. And I didn't make a penny. See, the first job I ever had in my life was when I started working up there in 1941, as far as I can figure it up. I've got it down.
Well, now, the original house, Clayton, was from here to here?
I'll tell you what. It was from here to here, and Red Stringfellow at one time had built on a side room right here that we tore off from the sleep-in, the ones that run this filling station, and it had a shed room that we pulled off.
That was when the filling station was right over here.
And the filling station was turned this way.
Now, do you remember what kind of filling station that was?
Oh, yeah.
What kind?
It was a brick.
Brick
filling station. It was nice.
Okay.
And it's turned cat-cornered. Facing both roads, you know what I mean.
Now, that filling station operated until you moved here?
It was in full force when we moved down here.
In here. So even when Floyd was barbering here,
it was there.
A filling station?
Yes,
there.
Sir.
Do you remember when it stopped operating?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But the very minute it stopped, and Mr., I forgot his name, and I knew it, that owned the filling station and brought the gas down here but rented it out for somebody to operate it. But he owned the building.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he died. And Floyd beat it right up there and asked him, his widow, if when she got ready to set it, give him first chance at it. And said, would you please do that? I'd like to buy it.
So he bought it.
And then he bought it.
But when he bought it, did he have the filling station there? Did he run
it? No.
He had torn it down.
It was done gone. It was the land.
Now that would be
nothing. But the post, he got one post moved.
Yeah, I remember the post.
You remember that.
That was sometime in the 30s?
Yes.
In the 30s.
No, that's later than that. Because Billy went with his daddy. Billy was out of high school when we bought that.
When you bought the filling station?
When we bought the land.
The corner.
Wasn't that in that corner.
Okay.
And in Florida, immediately got his new shop. He bought that from a woman that her husband had dropped dead at the chair up here at Albany, Texas.
Mm-hmm.
And the Hitchcocks moved it in for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's so proud of it. And just the very minute he did that, well, we began to get this fixed. And we've got the prettiest hardwood floor under this rug you ever saw. But you can't keep them, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway.
We forgot to go up this road, Clayton.
Oh,
there was
the
filling station here for a while.
Uh-huh.
When you were a girl, there was a filling station there?
I don't know. I don't remember.
So you went this way. What was on this side of the street up here where the old city hall is? Was there anything there?
I don't know. No. Uh-uh. There wasn't anything there because Floyd even talked about buying that land. And we
right,
don't
as you
know
went over the little
didn't.
Creek, as you went over the little
uh-huh.
creek. What was to the right?
There was houses. Come in and Nix's house.
Uh-huh.
She'd holler over here at Floyd. Floyd?
Was that that old house that they tore down not
uh-huh.
long ago?
That Grandma Thompson lived in.
Right, yeah.
And
that big old...
Uh-huh. Facing Bells
uh-huh.
and Joe's.
As you went on down, there were more houses.
Oh, Clara Corbin, and across the street, Uncle Elsie Parnell.
That's where the old library was.
And that's where the library
okay.
was. Solid houses.
All the way up,
all
on both sides.
Uh-huh, yeah. Long
all the way down to...
Not solid, but,
yeah.
scattered houses as far as I can think of.
Do you remember anything on Ruby Road down there?
Yeah. Mr. Langster came out there and built that big mansion.
That the Johnsons lived in.
Yeah.
Remember the first mayor was R.M. Johnson?
That where he lived?
Well, wasn't it that sort of house that was way back off the road and it kind of looked like a western house?
Yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
okay. That's what's his name? Landon?
Mr. Langster.
Langster.
Langster bought all that land and built all that.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So as you went on down this street, all the way down to where it turns and comes back this way, were there a lot of houses back up in over there where what's now Sandy Lake Road?
Yes, there's a good many.
There's a good many houses. What about if you went back on Fleet Road? Were there a lot
That's
of houses?
Pretty scattered going that
scattered
way.
Scattered down
Because sometimes we'd have to detour in our latter years even, you know,
mm-hmm.
and go that way to Grapevine if they
mm-hmm.
were working on these roads up here.
Mm-hmm. So there weren't many
they
down
were,
there. The Fleet House was down there.
The Fleet House was there.
You and that's where...
Your daddy, let's see.
Yeah,
wasn't that where your daddy and mother lived?
Mm-hmm.
Was you born over there?
I was... Actually, when I was born, the house they was living in, they moved almost immediately, like within a month of when I was born.
Uh-huh.
And they moved that house, too.
Oh.
You know? Uh-huh. Now, what about... what do you remember... If you were going down Sandy Lake Road toward Carrollton, what do you remember? Do you remember the beer joints?
I sure do.
Do you remember the name of the one that was on the corner of the Ottinger's? The Ottinger Corner? Remember there was a big one right there?
I know. It's right on the end of my tongue. You know, Shot and Elsie was across from them.
Shot and Elsie, I heard that.
Yeah. But to save my soul,
there's one named Dutch's.
I don't believe I could ever remember the name.
Okay, as you went on toward Carrollton, so you were going down Sandy Lake Road. What was down there? You remember beer joints were down there?
They certainly were. Uncle Bill Thompson put one right in his yard.
Now that would be, which one would that be? That would be...
It's Bill Parrish's daddy.
Okay, but I mean, where would it be?
Where would it be?
Is it where that little red and white house was for so long, right there next to Minions? Or would it be on down closer to Moore Road?
Well, if I was in my car and I'm driving, I could point it out. But right now, I can't picture that. I don't believe that it was between. I believe it's further down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I might be getting too far now from that corner where they had the big beer joint, Catty Corner there. And Ottinger's lived out there in the little house. I don't know if it's the same time or not, but I mean later they did.
Now, Clayton, do you ever remember, you know where Hertz Road is?
Oh, you bet.
Do you remember that Hertz Road used to go on toward Louisville?
Yes.
As a matter of fact, I found a map that showed me in the early days that there wasn't a Denton Tap Road. And then she went north on Hertz, crossed over Denton Creek, and came back and then went to Louisville.
Oh.
You remember anything about that?
No.
You remember Denton Road coming through
Carrollton? Oh, you bet.
He'd come from Carrollton. That was Sandy Lake Road, right?
Uh-huh.
And then he'd turn and go on to Louisville.
Uh-huh. Right? Yeah. But I can't remember this this one that she spoke of just then. I can't remember
Were there a lot of houses on Sandy Lake Road?
Well, they're pretty scattered, but they're pretty good, especially when you got close to the Carrollton Dam, on the side of the Carrollton Dam, of course, but that's getting out of our territory after you go across the Carrollton Dam. I think then you begin to get in the Carrollton zone. But up till then, but it's pretty scattered.
Down there where Touch lived?
Yes, Touch.
What do you remember, if anything? Do you remember anything about where Sandy Lake Swimming Pool is now? Do you remember anything about Sandy Lake and that alcoholic sanitarium down there? Or is that on down by Carrollton?
You mean down there where they have all of this swimming and this activity?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes.
What do you remember about that?
Oh, mercy. We used to go down there on Sunday evenings. That's always been kind of a resort down there.
Mm-hmm.
Best I can remember. They've had that for years, and it just got it larger and larger.
Do you remember going there when you were 5 or 6?
No. I can just remember the first day I went to school, about as far back as I can remember at 5, when the teacher was boarding with us, she kind of asked me to school with her.
So you think that Sandy Lake thing, you went down there maybe when you were more an adult?
Oh, yes.
20 and 30.
I'll tell you, we'd go to the Carrollton Dam for these activities on Sunday.
Uh-huh.
You know about the thing that was brought so many people down there when Walter Prater, you've heard of the Praters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Pete, mercy.
What's that?
Oh, honey, they was the roughest people that's ever in here.
They lived down there by the dam?
Pretty close, lived down there in the woods somewhere. But,
uh-huh.
Oh, the Praters. But, of course, she was too young anyway. Now, they was a lot older than me, the Prater boys. But after I began to get grown and we was saved us some of our cotton picking money and bought us a camera, Mary Evelyn Cosby and Vera, Mary Evelyn and Cleona and me and some of the young people, we went down there on Sunday evenings. And some of the boys, at the Carrollton Dam, where there was so much amusement, and old Walter Prater drew so many people down there this Sunday evening. It was all out, come to the Carrollton Dam. It's just like it is now, up high, you know, those high overhead. He's going to get up on the tip top and saturate himself in gasoline and strike a match or let somebody to his bathing suit. He's going to dive off to, in the Carrollton Dam in the water. Well, he's down there. He did it. I remember it just as well as if I was looking at him now.
And his name was Walter?
Walter Prater.
P-R-A-Y-T-O-R?
No, I don't think there's any Y in it. Just P-R-A-T-E-R. Prater.
P-R-A-T-E-R.
Uh-huh. Just Prater. P-R-A-T-E-R. Well, Miss,
how old was he when he was going to do it?
Oh, he looked like he was about 30, 25 or 30.
He was the father of the family?
No, he was a single fella.
Single
fella. Tough as a boot. He had a brother named Robert Prater, too, and he's pretty tough, but nothing like Walter. He's the oldest one.
So he did do it. He jumped off the bridge?
Well, he saturated him. He had the helpers there to do it. They poured the gasoline on him. It was real gasoline. Poured it all over him. They struck a match to him. See, they had to climb up here to saturate him.
Now, they climbed up on the bridge?
Up on the tip top. He climbed up there. They climbed up there. They poured this gasoline on him. See, you can go up. It's easy to climb up on him.
Now, this was a bridge that had a top on it. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. It didn't go clear across the road, but it was high on each side. Uh-huh. And they climbed up. Up top of that bridge, that's what I'm calling it. It had high banisters on account of overflowing. So you could see where the bridge was if it come over, you see. It's high. Well, he struck a match to it or got somebody else. Now, I don't know what. There's such a crowd there about like it was the open day of the park down here. People was from everywhere that heard about it. And this was to draw a crowd, too. Well, they struck the match to him. It was the bluest flame you ever saw. It was just red, blue, always just up there. And you know what? When it hit the water, the water turned every color of gasoline. And, excuse me, I'll be right back. And I got the big way. That was the thrill of my life.
Now, what time of the day did this happen? When you
it's on Sunday afternoon, huh?
I'd
say about 2 o'clock, but I'm making that
up. Between church.
Oh, yeah. Everybody went to church, you know.
What year do you think this was?
Well, I could kind of figure it up. From 1908, I was about 14 or 15, thinking I was grown, but
about
I wasn't grown. I wasn't dating or anything.
About 1922 or something.
Something like that.
All right. And was he all right? Did he live?
Oh, it didn't even bother him. You know what he did? I'm still just saying. And Bill Cosby, you'll hear us reminisce. Bill would come down here at night and we'd talk about this. Bill was down there too, you know.
Uh-huh.
He's older than me, just a little bit. And we were both down there, Joe and Bill and me and Cleo and all. And you know what he did? He dove down under the water. And we couldn't see him or anything. But we could see this color off the water. You know how gasoline looks? Purple, blue, like a rainbow. Floating down. It was running over the bank. He dove down, it was full down at the Carrollton Dam. And he come up out of the water and waved at everybody. And you know what? That was a lot of money then. He either got $25 or $50 for
Who
doing that. I don't know. But all this crowd, they might have took up an offering. But someone told him if he'd do that and go all this, and listen, that was equivalent to $500 or $600 at least now, you know. But they paid him up $25 or $50.
What did he wear to do it? He had a bathing suit?
Had on a bathing suit there, but this big old long legged bathing suit.
Nothing up here?
Yeah. He had on something like a, I can just see.
Tank top.
He had on something like a vest.
You remember what color?
That's the way this. No, I don't remember the color. They had all kinds of stripes and plaids and everything.
Now you tell me you had your friends with you. That was Joe Cosby.
And Bill. Bill Cosby was there.
Cleo who?
My sister.
Cleo.
Cleo Hodges. She's dead.
Yeah, okay, Cleo Hodges. Who else were your friends?
Bill Cosby and Mary Evelyn.
Mary Evelyn Cosby.
And Bill. And Georgie Carr, you don't know the Carrs.
C-A-R-R.
They was famous people here and good people. And I don't know just a lot of our friends that we, and Linda Russell, all of the ones about, and Francis Corbett, Francis Gold, all the people about the same age that ran together, you know. We went down in some kind of an old T-model or Model A, or I guess T-model then. But that was just like going to the Dallas Fair. We look forward for that for days. It's in the paper, little local paper or something, or a surplus put out. Come down to the Carlton Down.
Tell me about newspapers. Do you remember a newspaper in Coffield?
Yep. My daddy, we sacrificed, but I don't know what this was, that he took what's been coming here for this many years when I was a little girl. And I was born in 1908. And I can remember, Mama said, Claude said, we'll sacrifice. Papa was self-educated. He had his little blue back speller with him when he came from Tennessee, when they moved here. And he educated himself. And he kept books at the gym whenever they hired bookkeepers. He was very brilliant and very well-educated, self-educated. And Mama said, Claude, we'll sacrifice something for us to take the daily paper for you. Because there wasn't any radios, televisions, or anything for a long time. And I remember some way, I don't know whether he got it in the mailbox, mailed to him, or whether they, I guess he did. I don't remember any routes, you know. But we took the paper. And Mama says, I sell enough eggs and butter that we'll see that you get the paper.
You think that was paper out of Dallas?
I think so.
Dallas,
I think it was
News
a Dallas paper.
Like
I think it was.
Do you remember a local paper? A cup
no,
paper?
No, I can't
out?
Remember when we
Coppell.
Had
there was a little one sometime, but I don't think it lasted.
Now, we got, I don't either. We got the Louisville Leader for years.
When I was in school.
Yeah. But I don't remember Coppell having a paper.
Wait, what other big important events do you ever remember happening in Coppell? Anything?
Well, I guess the biggest thing is thrilled us all. So, right behind him at Gentry's, you know how before you got down to where Miss Barthing built her house there, you know, the next house. Why, Mr. Olin Cole put in the summer, one summer, a great big tent-like and built seats for a movie. And it was this kind of, you know, silent talking. And I'll tell you, we heard that there's going to be a picture show going to be on Saturday nights in Coppell. And people came from there, all these farmers and everything out. Here's what made Coppell have such a good business, you know, all these dry goods stores I have down here and all of these two dry goods stores, a drug store, doctor, two gyms and all that. They came from all these farms around, over Forest Cribbs and all around, you see. Bethel, Gentry and all, they Coppell, came to Coppell for amusements and things. Well, O.A. Cole.
Now tell me where this is. O.A. Cole? C-O-L-E?
C-O-L-E. That's
now, where was this tent thing that you put up?
Right there? Between where, just about where y'all's house is sitting. It, because the filling station was still there.
So it was behind the filling station?
It was behind there. There was a vacant spot till the next house, and he put that big tent there, and he put these bleachers up. And we just, I just scared that Papa wouldn't let us go. They wouldn't believe in it, you know, movie picture. Well, they got it all set up, and he was a local man. And he had the office crowd there, and Papa let us go. He didn't tell us, but he let the two older ones go, my sister and I. And somebody, some of the neighbors or my uncle or somebody picked us up, and we went. And we thought that was the grandest thing in this world. Oh,
and how old would you be?
I know how old I was.
Uh-huh.
Because that year we had a revival meeting, and people that go around and talk to you then about trusting the Lord, you know.
Uh-huh.
And I think, oh, I cannot do it. I was 11 years old.
So
I was
1919 then.
That's when it was. I was 11 years old, and I thought, oh, I could never go to a show. My daddy wouldn't want me to if I was a Christian. And I just thought that now, because I was Cleo. She's already remembered.
But you did go to the movie.
I went to the movie, Papa Levis.
Do you remember what the movie was?
No.
Do you remember anything about it?
And I didn't have time. I was such a slow reader that I was about 11 years old.
And you couldn't keep up with it.
I couldn't keep up with it. Wasn't used to
did
it.
Did somebody play the piano?
Oh, no. It was
completely silent.
Uh-huh. Oh, but they had a speaker of some kind, like one of them horns, but that O.A. Cole would talk through, you know, about it. But every once in a while.
How many people could get in there?
I don't know, but they must have been at least 100 the first night.
How much did it cost?
A dime.
Did you go back a lot of times?
Oh, he had it every Saturday night. I went several times.
You remember how long it lasted?
No, sir, I don't. But I do know one freak accident one night that some of these bleachers went down, and Gladys McDonald, which is who's still living, she's real old. She's a lot older than I am. It broke her ankle. She went down another board, and that just like to ruined everything, you know. Uh-huh. She got her ankle a foot broke up like that.
Well, she you say she was older than you?
Yes, she's older than me.
So she was still a young girl.
Oh yes, because I wasn't but 11.
You were 11, yeah.
I was 10 or 11. I could have just.
You think she was more like maybe 14 or 15?
Yeah, she's at least that. She's older than Cleo. Cleo's 5 years older than me. So
now, where did she live?
The McDonald's?
Mm-hmm.
At one time, they lived down there where Ruby McDowell is, mm-hmm. but I don't know now.
Was there a big house there then?
No, it was a little house. Right on the corner.
You remember a big house on down from where you lived? On down?
The Sweet House?
I guess
that's
the Sweet House?
That's Walter Sweet. It's a big two-story fine house.
Now that house, Clayton, was still there, wasn't it, when I was a kid?
I think
it
so.
Burned?
It did. It burned.
It burned. Okay.
That's where little old J.C., that it was his grandmother's place, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He still lives there in a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
He had a trailer park, but some way or another, it couldn't work because he didn't have the drainage, the sewage system or something that was causing.
David, do you remember Bethel School?
Oh, yeah. I remember.
All right, now, I need you to tell me, if we were going toward where Bethel School was, in other words, if we were going toward Moore Road on Bethel, exactly, well, I want you to, look, let's draw a picture. Let's say that this is Bethel Road, and this is Denton Tap, okay? There's a stop and go here now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if we're going down this road, and we come here to Moore Road, okay? You know, the historic Bethel Cemetery is down here.
Yeah.
Where was the school building?
Now, the historical Bethel Cemetery.
The one that Mary Evelyn
was working on now.
It's over here somewhere.
It's close to Moore Road.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Now, which corner would the school be on?
The Bethel School?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I wish at that time we'd run down there.
Yeah.
Just a few steps. Well, let me tell you. You go down Bethel School Road until you get to the end where Moore Road comes across, and it's right here on the right.
So it would be right here? Look what I'm drawing, right here?
I guess that would be, if he's going this way,
going east, it would be on
the right. And it was a big enough place that it had a church and a school boat there.
Now, you mean the church was next door? Or was it the same building?
No, it's two different buildings. They had a church and then had an arbor at one time. Because I've gone down there when I was a little girl.
So if you went down Bethel Road, would you come to the church first or the school first?
I don't remember which one. There's twin buildings.
So they looked like this.
the church and the school just looked almost alike. This little white one-room building.
So if you went down this Bethel Road, there'd be one building here and another building there.
Right there, sitting there.
And that would be...
And then an old brush arbor for years, but it that tore
them?
It down.
Between them?
Huh?
Between them or behind
them? Behind them. Mm-hmm. That's just fence.
So Bethel School and Bethel Church were two different buildings.
Yes, two different buildings all together.
Do you
but
remember?
Looked just alike. No, they're painted white.
Was there anything across the street from them?
I don't know. Nothing but woods is all I can think of.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I can't think of anything.
Do you ever remember being in Bethel Cemetery?
Now, they call so many down there Bethel Cemetery, so I don't know which one.
Do you remember ever being in any cemeteries down there?
Oh, you bet. I still go. I went to when Howard Elgin Parish and his daddy, Burke.
Okay, that's the parish cemetery.
That's the parish cemetery.
Mm-hmm. You remember being in any other?
Yes. This one, it's over there by Carter's.
Yeah.
This is where all the Shirley's folks, nearly, kin folks, are buried.
Uh-huh.
Aunt Edna, got her last
okay, name. Now, you know, that's the one, and that's the cemetery that Mary Evelyn and them have worked to restore.
Yeah, I know the one. This this is a different one, though.
Oh, it is.
It's not
it's
the
another.
One across from Carter's.
Oh, it's not?
No, uh-uh. I've been down there.
Wonder where that one.
Wait just a minute.
Now, you're thinking about the one that's down close to where you used to live, behind the old police house.
No, that is the Bullock Cemetery.
Yeah, but it's not that one.
Oh, no.
This is another one.
This is another one. This is like if you go that, like you're going, you know how you go, turn off of Moore Road and go down to Carter's Estates.
Yeah. On the right.
Yeah. On the right. Uh-huh. Well, a cemetery. But I don't know what they call it, but Aunt Edna Warren and all the Warrens, and then they brought Johnny McCain. You know Johnny McCain.
Mm-hmm.
They buried him there. And Dorothy's going to be buried there. And Louise Gentry's going to be buried there. It's a family cemetery. And they're trying to get Benny and Shirley to promise they'd be buried there. And the nephews are cleaning it.
Whose family? The Miltons?
Yes.
The Miltons?
Well, it was... it was the Gentry's because Bernice was Bernice Gentry.
Uh-huh.
And it
so
was,
it was up there somewhere across?
Well, here's Carter's big gate
house.
And going in. And it's right straight east from there across the road and up on a knoll there.
Where there are houses now.
The houses are down here in front of it, but it's behind the houses, between there and the Moore Road.
So does somebody still keep it up?
Oh, you bet. So we buried Johnny McCain 2 years ago, hardly 2 years ago, and that's the first time I'd ever been in it. I didn't go when Aunt Edna Warren, and some of them was buried.
Well, I didn't know that one was there. Well, that one's fair. Those family cemeteries are rare.
But I don't know what they call it. But somebody's trying to tell me. I was going to ask Bernice what they called it, and I forgot it the other day.
Now, Clayton, I'm going to let you go pretty quick here.
Well, that's all right. I don't have a thing to do tonight but tend to the dog. And I'll fix supper if you'll eat with me.
I wish. You know, I have a 7 o'clock meeting at school.
Do you?
Let me ask you something. I'm thinking about writing some stuff in my book, if I ever get around to writing it.
Uh-huh.
When you were a little girl... Let's ask some questions like this. When you were a little girl, say 10 or 11 years old, and you wanted to go to Grapevine or Carrollton with your family, did you ever do that?
Oh, you bet.
How
we
did you
to
get
Grapevine.
There? How did you get to Grapevine? I mean, what did you go in? A car?
Well, I can remember, but it wasn't very long until we had our first car when I was little. We went in a ferry with the horses pulling a carriage. Two seats, you know, for us.
Two seats? Sorry. How many horses?
Two
horses.
Mm-hmm.
White horses?
Yes, sir. We had two beautiful white horses.
Two white horses?
We had Well,
And then could people ride in the back of the surrey?
Oh, yeah. Always. It took two seats to hold us, you know, when Mama...
Oh, two seats?
Two seats in the surrey.
Ah, sure.
The one up
How many front. People could you get in it?
You could get six, three in each seat. Easily. As you had a baby, it's told you, you know.
Uh-huh. And but, so you'd go down these roads and come over to Grapevine.
Uh-huh.
What would you do in Grapevine?
Well, we'd buy clothes, hats. Little girls always wore hats to church bands.
What store do you remember going to?
Yates store. Yates store has been there since Grapevine's been there. Generations back, you know.
You'd buy a straw hat?
Buy a little fancy girl's hat with a little streamer. I can remember back that as far as when I was 8 and 10.
When you were 8 and 10, what kind of clothes did you wear, Clayton?
What
kind of clothes did you wear when you were 8 and 10, 11 years old?
Well, I've got a picture.
Little dress?
Lord have mercy. First time I ever had on a pair of pants. Papa was in nursing home up here at Grapevine. And I thought, well, I don't know. Papa's not out of his mind yet. It's coldest day ever, so. And Floyd had bought me a slack suit when it first came out. And good gracious alive, I put that slack suit on Floyd. Said, where are your pants? I said, I don't know. Papa may not speak to me if I go into these pants on that. Girls were just disgraced.
Uh-huh. But when you were little, then you wore a dress with petticoats?
You bet. I never...
What color was your favorite dress?
Oh, I don't know. I had...
Was it cotton?
It was cotton. And Mama made them and ripped with ruffles on them.
Oh, she made them.
Oh,
did she have to wash them a lot?
Oh, yeah. We'd wash them after each time.
Really and iron them?
Uh-huh.
Starch them?
Yeah, yeah.
And so you'd wear a hat with it?
Oh, yeah.
Were they long sleeves?
Well, some of them were, but in the summertime, most of the time they... elbow length.
What kind of shoes did you wear?
Whatever they were at that time, each year, you know.
Were they high up?
No, they'd just be little, in the summer, they'd be little white slippers,
uh-huh.
And we'd polish them. And in the winter, they'd be little shoes, not just cut out slippers. Uh-huh. They'd be little laced up shoes to wear at school and then a little Sunday
not necessarily
pair.
Real high up.
No, they weren't real high
up. Did you wear bloomers?
Well, I don't know what. They called them teddy bears.
Teddy bears?
One piece, you know.
Uh-huh.
But when it was real cold, I kind of believe we did. I believe we did have elastic in the bottoms of them about to our knees. And
did you wear, what, socks?
Stockings.
Came up above your knees.
Yes. Okay. And garters.
Did you wear gloves?
Oh, yes. We always wore gloves.
So when you got dressed up to go to church?
When we went to church.
You
we
wore
had
white gloves, little white gloves?
Yeah, in the summer and winter we'd wear little black ones.
Black ones. How many times did you go to church a week?
We'd go 3. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night.
Where was the church you went to?
Right
out there. And that was next door to the school?
Yeah.
Okay. You remember Cottonwood Church?
Yep, I've heard of it, but no, I don't remember that. No.
What about the Gentry School?
It was done tore down. Yeah, I remember the Gentry School. I can kind of picture the
But you didn't go there.
No, that's over there where the cribs is and all. You know where it was in the corner there.
Yeah. But wasn't it on the...
On the right.
Yeah, on the right.
Going to Irving.
Mm-hmm. Let me see what else. Do you ever remember, let me think if I need to ask anything else. What was your favorite toy?
A doll, when I was little.
Where'd you get it?
Santa Claus brought it. I think I must have been 8 or 10 years old before I ever did know for sure.
What kind of face did it have?
Face.
Was it china or porcelain or rubber or?
Rubber.
Rubber.
It's rubber.
Did it have eyes that worked?
No. It's just painted.
Painted on?
Yeah.
Did it have a dress?
And
on?
Then I had some little china, one little china doll. It was glass.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what a china doll looks like. Little bitty one. But I had this one that I thought so much of. It was plastic, you know. Looked just like a baby, and his legs would work, but not his size. You could move it, set up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What was your father's name?
Claude.
Claude, and your mother?
Bessie.
Claude and Bessie Plummer. Uh-huh. And your sister's name was Cleo.
Cleo.
Did you have any brothers?
Two brothers. Weldon and C.L.
Yeah, Weldon and C.L., of course.
C.L. still living, but yeah. Not much
but
more.
But you only had one sister.
No, two. My baby sister got killed in a car wreck this year, and your mother and dad went up to Mansfield.
What was her name?
Willie B. French.
Willie B. French. Okay. All right. Yeah. All right.
I was 11 years old mm-hmm. when she was born.
Mm-hmm.
And I was at school.
In that house down there.
In that house down there. I was 11 years older than Willie B. And Welton was our baby, and he was 8. And then mm-hmm. C.L. was between Welton and me.
Mm-hmm.
And Cleo was older. She was 5 years older. So there was just four of us for till all. Welton was 8 years old for all those years. There was just four of us. And Willie B. is born on Cleo's 16th birthday. And I was 11. And Vera Cosby said that day, she said to me, she said, "Clayton, when you get home, you're going to have a little baby brother or sister one." She saw the doctor go by, you know,
uh-huh.
Coming from toward Grapevine somewhere. Uh-huh. That way.
So and your doctor came from
and
Grapevine?
And I didn't know a thing about it. I said, a little baby.
You know
I think about that.
So
I
you think your did you think your doctor came from Grapevine?
Oh, yeah, he did come from Grapevine.
Do you remember? There were doctors
living. They'd done moved out from here. Dr. Yeah. Bennett had been gone a long time.
Yeah. So the doctors that did live in Coppell eventually did move out.
Yes, they did. Dr. Uh-huh. Bennett, he finally moved it, practiced to Grapevine.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm running out of things. You know what? There's going to be things I'm going to need to ask you that I'll call you and ask you.
Well, I it's just as correct as I know now. Some
oh,
of them might be off, Pete, because after all those years, you know.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember going to Carrollton much?
We didn't go to Carrollton.
Mm-hmm.
We went over at Roten's every once in a while and mm-hmm. shopped.
Mm-hmm.
There was Roten's over there.
Almost
but
there.
Up here was Yates's. Mm-hmm. But I know in the summer when Papa, we'd go take Mama up there to buy the material and our shoes. That they had hats and shoes and everything when they were at Grapevine.
Mm-hmm.
You'd buy everything at one place. Well, Papa would ask him if he could wait till fall to pay him,
mm-hmm.
because, and he always wanted us to have two nice dresses, one for Sunday and one on Wednesday nights and just casual, like to go to parties and things. But we had to keep this Sunday dress hanging up, and a lot of people now laugh when you say Sunday clothes. Said the kids would say, "What do you mean? Did you just work? Couldn't work no time but Sunday?" It's Miss mm-hmm. Pinkerton. She's mm-hmm. like me, you know. She said, "I always said my Sunday clothes."
Mm-hmm.
And she said her boy, Ray, just come in dying off life. And he said, "Mama, what do you mean? Did you just, could you ever wear them during the week?" She said, "Oh, that's our best clothes is our Sunday clothes." And she told me, she said, "This younger generation just keeps the best clothes on and wears them anywhere they want to or any time, and they don't even know what you're talking about."
Mm-hmm.
And he thought that was the corniest thing he ever heard of in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But we always removed them when we got home and hung them back up. And if the need ran to now, Mama took care of that in a week, you know, while we just do. And then we had one that we wore on Wednesday nights and like to parties or just a gathering of family get-togethers. You
if
know,
you went to a party when you were a young girl, say when you were a teenager?
Yeah, I was a teenager before I
you'd
went
be at somebody's
one.
House?
Yeah, oh, yes.
What would you do?
We'd play London Bridge is Broken Down if it's in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And in the winter, they'd be if they was able to have a piano in the house, we always gathered around the piano, be one in the bunch, or older person would be there to play, and they'd play some of these old-time songs. They're old, really, now, you know.
Would they have...
80 years old.
Would they have punch?
And they'd always serve something to drink, but most of the time it'd be hot chocolate, because everybody had their own milk cows.
Hot chocolate and cookies?
Uh-huh.
Cookies, maybe?
They call them tea cakes a lot of times, too. Just something like that.
Uh-huh.
But I know we always kept them. There's an old fella that always come by our house selling cartons of apples, mm-hmm. apple wagon, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we always kept apples, and during the 9 months of school, under our bed, in a big box where it's cooler under there, you know, and carry an apple and a boiled egg and a little fried sugar pie besides a sandwich of some kind of school. But we, Papa always tried to keep apples for us to eat. And one when we'd come home from school, you know, we had plenty like that. But we couldn't raise anything like that in the way of fruits, you see. But we had our own chickens and we had...
Do you remember any other big things happening in Coppell? You talked about Walter Prater jumping off
in about the first movie. But it broke up about time that big, you know, what do you call them, where they build those seats. Just build them, you know, just don't take no time. And one sitting up on the top, and Gladys McDonald was up pretty high, and it didn't hold. It was too many people there.
On the benches on the...
Huh?
You mean on the bench?
On the bench, but there's another name for it.
It kind of broke up. The bleacher.
The bleacher is what I'm trying to think of.
So they broke down.
And it crashed that night. I scared everybody dead. Nobody else got hurt that I can recall, and I was there.
Do you remember anything else big happening in Coppell?
Well, just fires was awful, you know, when somebody set their building on fire, like the store, you know, things like that. Oh, the worst thing. Everybody had party lines, you know. There was eight people on our line, telephone line. We had a telephone right down there on the other side of Ruby Hood's at the last house before you start to go to the high, to Denton Town. Well, one day, the telephone, everybody had a long and short and long and three shorts and one, a short and a long and all of that stuff. One day, though, the telephone just started ringing. It just rang and didn't stop. And Mama said, that's some kind of alarm. And Mama took down the receiver. And Pearl and Red, I believe, was the ones that was running the switchboard. And whoever was running it, I think it was Pearl, she said, oh, the awfulest thing has happened. And Mama said, oh, Lord, what is it? And she said, soda fountain has blown up in the drugstore and killed Mr. McGee, Brian McGee, you know, Miss Minnie's husband, right there where Jack bought that lot and had to dig up all, they had to dig up all that concrete. And she said, and that just like to kill all of us. It just blew up.
Now this would be...
I don't know what year it was. Well, I was a little girl at home and...
Well, when did you leave home?
How old was I when I left there? I was 18, nearly 19 when I married, 18.
So when you married Floyd?
I married Floyd.
Almost 19 years old, and you moved out. Your parents still live there, though?
Oh, yes, they moved there. Lived there a good while until my grandpa and grandma died, and then they bought the house and moved up here. That old house that lived there, right beside, was right beside of your grandmother's.
I didn't realize that your parents ever lived there.
Oh, yeah. They was living there when your grandma lived there. My papa was.
Right, that was your father. I have to get it all in my head.
Claude,
that's right,
something.
That was your father. I remember your father barely. I was pretty young.
You was pretty young. You're in your 30s, aren't you? Late 30s?
40.
Are you 40?
41.
41.
But I remember your father. And I almost remember your mother. Almost. Not much.
I don't know what year Mama died.
I was only in that house one time, Ms. Harlow. I was in the front parlor one time.
Well,
and of course, even when I was little, it was old house.
Oh, yeah, bad.
Really? Yes, it was. It wasn't two stories, was it?
Oh, no, it's just one story.
But it was a huge house, wasn't it?
Pretty big. Had three bedrooms and a kitchen and a big kitchen. My grandmother that lived there before we did, whenever they died, well, Papa sold out down there and bought their home place and we moved up there.
So you had a telephone pretty early.
Yeah, we did. Uh-huh. And Mama would talk to her mother and daddy lived up here, you know, the house.
What do you, what year do you have any idea how old you were when you got a telephone?
I have no idea.
Do you always remember having a telephone?
Uh-huh. I don't remember.
So they must have had one when you were 8 or 9.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Maybe even
more. Because I'd answer it. But I can't remember when they put it in, and I can't remember not having one, but I know we had. I know we didn't have when I was a baby and little, because there wasn't no such thing.
Yeah.
But we did, and because when the man went off the farm, you know, like when he was renting Grandpa Harrison's land up here by the railroad, and we lived down there. Mm-hmm. One of us kids got hurt or something. Mom couldn't have got in touch with nobody,
mm-hmm.
nobody, mm-hmm. because other people close to us didn't have no telephone.
Mm-hmm.
So we got this telephone put in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about 7 or 8 on one party line.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd have and we'd eavesdrop and catch all the news, what's going on.
Now, was it the kind of phone that mounted on the wall and you had a receiver and you talked like this?
Oh, yeah. Then we'd ring one long ring and two short, or two shorts and a long to get somebody. And central was always one long one, you know.
Yeah, the telephone wires, they ran along the road?
I guess so. I can't recall. They had to come from the switchboard, you know, to the house.
You ever remember anything about Bonnie and Clyde?
Oh.
What can you tell me about Bonnie and Clyde?
Floyd ought to be here. Did you ever read that piece about him, what he wrote? He was being interviewed. I have so many clippings of Floyd. It came out in the paper, you know. And they asked him, said, did you ever know Clyde and Bonnie Parker? He said, you bet, and I've danced with Bonnie.
Uh-huh.
I said, I never did. They said, did you ever date her? He said, no, I never did date Bonnie, but I have danced with her.
Uh-huh.
And that made me laugh when you said that. And it was a cute article about it.
Well, how did he know them? How did he know them?
I'll tell you what, he didn't know him that was going to be her at the time. But then when they got to be so much in the paper about them and all, well, he said, I know her. And you know, one day they come through here, they just liked to not have made it. They just was going so fast and about hit this corner. They wanted to turn this way, and when they turned, they went way up on the Methodist ground. And we said, I was at home, and we said, what in the world? Floyd said, that looked to me like that was Bonnie and Clyde.
Hmm.
That's when they was running all the time. You're seeing their pictures on everything.
Hmm.
Sure enough, they just barely got away. There was policemen sat behind them. And it was
saw the police car?
Oh, yeah. Out of Dallas. We didn't have no policemen, nothing out here. And they got away from them. And you know, they found them asleep right up here between here and Grapevine, out on the side road.
Out on Dove Road?
Dove Road's where it was, out from Grapevine.
And they were trying to turn right.
They turned right, but they like to fell over, they like to go over.
That was probably in 1935.
I guess so long ago.
I think so. They'd be after you moved your barbershop here?
Yeah, we was living down here.
Uh-huh. And you moved here what year?
We moved here. Billy was 1 year old when Floyd had done come on and got his barbershop set up and was buying things and fixing it.
Uh-huh.
And then he petitioned this off right here.
Uh-huh.
And we had this room here and then this one, little back room and a shed room here for a kitchen for a year or two, and then we tore it off and built.
Uh-huh.
This first cabinet Virgil Grace ever built.
Yeah.
And everything, you know, he just planned it, and this reading is so much eras in it because he was just learning, you know.
Uh-huh.
First cabinet, and then we have the first bath room that anybody ever had in Coppell in here. Floyd said, I want a bath room so bad that we're going to just put in one.
So Billy was a year old.
And Billy was a year old.
When was Billy born?
He was born 31.
So in 1932, you probably moved here.
Yes. He was 1 year old and cried all day long. And I thought he was sick. And I called Mom when she come down here. And he never did cry before. He'd just play, you know. And he'd stand there at the window, and hit this window, this low, and look out, and he just cried, and he cried, and he cried, and he cried. And he wouldn't stop. So Mama came down here, and she watched him. She said, "Clayton, he don't look sick. And he don't, he's crying too strong to be sick." She says, "I just believe he don't like down here." I said, "Oh, Mama, he never did cry before like this." After a while, little Charlotte and Elwin came walking by, going to the filling station where the daddy was, holding hands, just about 4 and 6, something like that. And see, we lived out there in the house with Uncle Ernest and Aunt Pearl. Like, we'd rented half of it to them on this side. And Ernest goes, "Oh," he just held out his little hands. Oh, you know how babies do. Mama said, "That's what's wrong with him. He's a bawling. He hates this place. He wants back out there." And they stopped to see him, you know, and played with him a little while. And when they left, he cried again. Mama said, "Well, he'll get used to this." Mm-hmm. And that is what he's crying about. He didn't like down here because he'd left Charlotte and Nelwyn. And when we married, Nelwyn was a year old. Mm-hmm. And we could always keep up with her age, you see, because we married on her birthday, and Charlotte was about a year and a half older than Nelwyn. Mm-hmm. And
you could always keep up.
Uh-huh, we keep up there.
Something I was going to ask you. You know, there was a filling station down there. There was a filling station over here.
Yeah.
Were they in operation at the same time?
Now you got me. I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know whether Emmett Gentry had already. This one went first. Emmett kept his longer than this one.
The man died
that owned this, that brought, he always delivered gas, you know, in mm-hmm. these big trucks. And some way or another, I don't know who owned the station, who built it, but he bought it. But he rented it out and let them use it, and he furnished the gas for it. The big, two big pumps out
there. Well, this one, I know it had two
Carney,
big pumps.
Mr. Carney.
Was it more or less just a one-room thing?
No, it had a one family lived in it.
Oh,
and
it
had a stove
back.
In the front. They had a store in the front.
A store meaning a grocery
store? A grocery store. I'll tell you what the names are. Who are these people?
These are the people that ran it for him?
Yeah, they had rented it, and they was awfully crowded. But they made a lot of money. It was during the Depression off of it. They said they made a good, you know, good living.
So they lived in the back.
It was
at least 3 or 4 rooms.
Just two big little rooms back at the back, behind the grocery store.
Uh-huh.
One that used for kitchen and a bedroom, and then they had a bed in the kitchen, you know. They was just 4 of them, 2 girls and the daddy and mother.
Uh-huh. Well, that's interesting.
It is. Uh-huh.
Well, you just filled me in on everything I wanted.
Well, things like that.
Did you realize, Clayton, you may be one of the few people who still remembers a lot of this stuff?